broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
This is college. Everyone cheats. Everyone cheats.
Genesis 8, verse 21 and
10. These drinks combine alcohol and caffeine.
Oh, what's that? It's our new computer.
And the 0-1 pitcher on the way to Edgar Martinez.
Shoot from a basket.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. We don't give up, man. Right on through the looking glass we go, taking you to places other talk shows wish they could go. Our number is 877-876-PHIL in this groundbreaking presentation. 877-876-PHIL. Head over to our website right now to philhendryshow.com and get the other necessary acquisition to listen to our show. And that's a backstage pass. When you do, you are also entitled to watch live streaming video of our show. Why is that important? Because our radio show is the only one in the history of modern radio that's actually worth watching. Oh, there's a lot of great shows. Don't get me wrong. But ours, you got to see as well as listen to. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and I want to get our affiliate spotlight up here, man, because there are days, you know, not too many of them, that we blow it until the next hour here. San Diego, KFMB 760, a great station, one of the greatest in the country, and one of our great stations on our radio network, KFMB San Diego, and in Syracuse, New York, WMCR 1600 AM, and philhendryshow.com. is the place to go. Later on in the program, some very, very weird news tonight. We have Amazon.com charting a pedophile's guidebook. That's right. A pedophile's guidebook that is apparently selling. Now, it may very well be selling, and I have no doubt that it's selling because people have a morbid curiosity and want to know just exactly what the hell it is Amazon is selling there. But that is the fact, and we'll look at that. Also, alcoholic energy drinks are now banned in Washington State. You know about these drinks, that Four Loko, and there are others. And these are drinks that are being banned because college students are getting a hold of these. It isn't so much that they got 12% alcohol, although that's a pretty decent kick. They have 12% alcohol, and they've got enough caffeine in them to equal a couple of cups of coffee. So that's also pretty weird. We're going to kick off tonight, though, with Glee, the television show Glee. And we're going to welcome to our program for the very first time Ray Berger. Ray is with the Gay Power Trip bus tour. And we're going to talk to Ray about the TV show Glee and about what his organization is doing with this show. And I'll tell you, Glee is a revolutionary television show. There's no question about it. I think that all bets are off. I think everybody, whether you've seen the show or not, you need to know that this show has really broken some ground, not only just in the fact that Ray, and welcome to our program and congratulations. You guys are you're going to be doing quite a bit of traveling, right?
We're going to be doing a lot of traveling, Phil, from Los Angeles up to San Francisco into the Seattle area across the country, visiting a lot of cities where your radio stations and a lot of your fans are, in Louisville and in Memphis and in Miami. And this is all a part of our Gay Power Trip bus tour and is a big part of the television program Glee, which has, as you say, enhanced the ability of gay people to present to those who are not gay what we're about on a certain level and hopefully convince some younger people who are a little bit confused just what we're all about.
All right, well, let's talk about this episode from last night. Glee fans have been speculating for weeks that McKinley High's openly gay student, Kurt, would get his first kiss on last night's episode, which was entitled Never Been Kissed. Now, while it finally happened, it certainly didn't pan out as expected. The scene had been set for Kurt, played by Chris Colfer, to spark up a romance with Blaine, another gay student from a rival Glee Club. Blaine charmed Kurt with his group's rendition of Katy Perry's Teenage Dream, but to the surprise of viewers, it was Karofsky, a Neanderthal football jock, who had been subjecting Kurt to bullying about his sexuality, who locked lips with him.
Absolutely.
So that is what? That's a closeted...
Well, that is a individual who is attracted to the gay lifestyle, but for reasons that probably have an awful lot to do, Phil, with the way he was raised or peer pressure, cannot bring himself to openly admit his attraction to the gay lifestyle.
All right, here is Glee taking on gay bullying on last night's episode. Here, teacher Will Schuster, he counsels Kurt, who's been tormented by this bully.
Is there anything that I could do?
No. This is my hill to climb alone.
Can I be honest? I think it's getting to you. Usually this stuff rolls right off your back, but lately you've been belligerent, angry, pushing people away.
Can I be honest with you? You, like everyone else at this school, are too quick to let homophobia slide. And yes, being the only out gay kid at the school gets me down.
All right, so tell me, Ray, what you and those of you with the gay Power Trip bus tour, what you're doing.
Well, what we're doing is we're watching this episode of Glee, and we're watching other episodes of Glee that have dealt with the theme of an emerging interest in homosexuality and the gay lifestyle. And we're showing the kids these programs and then talking to them about the advantages of being a homosexual. What has happened in the last probably 5 to 10 years with the open public opinion opposed to gay marriage and other issues that are important to gay people, we're seeing an awful lot of gay people entering into these counseling centers where you can become, through therapy, heterosexual, and we're losing our numbers. And the only way to get those numbers back up is to actively go into our middle school and talk to young people about the homosexual lifestyle. What are the advantages? What could be good for them as opposed to going a more traditional heterosexual route?
You're in the middle schools, right?
We're in the middle schools still because by high school, most of these kids have made up their minds. And, of course, Glee is about high school. It's about discussion and open discussion and experimentation and so on with the homosexual lifestyle. We wanted to go to the middle schools because that kind of discussion is really not going on.
Now, these are young kids. You're not talking about sex, are you?
No, we're not talking about sex.
So much as you are talking about what you call the lifestyle of...
That's right. We're talking to them about the advantages of being a homosexual. The community is very strong. The economic advantages of being a homosexual often are very, very good because you are in community with others who are advanced and who have businesses that they own. And obviously the networking there is a lot, it's much stronger, also in the arts and in business, and we're finding increasingly in politics. So we discussed that with young people, and we're hoping to see our numbers rise over the next couple of years as we take the gay power trip.
Why do you call it the gay power trip? Is it because it's about recruiting gay people?
No, it's about recruiting young people to become gay.
All right, but about recruiting young people to become gay in order for there to be a political gay power base, or for what?
Yes, the political power base is very important, absolutely. But I think in any walk of life, to have the numbers of gay people that we want will be very, very important in influencing all kinds of policy. Politics is just one area, but when you talk about neighborhood, when you talk about real estate, when you talk about business, when you talk about banking, finance, where we have a preponderance of gay people, we have a preponderance of people who are more open politically as well as socially and economically. I think that benefits everyone, Phil.
Well, I was going to tell you or ask you this question. You know, you're talking about recruiting kids to become homosexuals. Where does this leave straight society? You know, if you recruit enough people to become homosexuals, where does this leave straight society?
Well, we're never going to be, I don't think we're in danger of ever losing our numbers of heterosexuals. That means we're not going to be in danger of losing those people who wish to have children, because obviously a heterosexual relationship is the primary way that children are born, but that's not the only way. So we're not in danger of losing heterosexuals, if that's what you're talking about. I think more to the point is we will simply say to a classroom of kids, well, is there anyone here interested in becoming a homosexual? Raise your hand. beforehand.
And I want to ask you about this whole recruiting thing, because it is my opinion, as it is the opinion of many, that this is an orientation from birth, you know.
Well, you can look at it that way. You can look certainly at a great many homosexual people.
In other words, when you don't tell me, you know, I don't expect that you would say to me, you knew you were gay from the time you were born. But when did you know you were gay?
I knew I was gay, I guess, when I first saw the first openly homosexual politician that I ever saw, and that was Harvey Milk. And I decided then that I wanted to be a homosexual like him, because he had such a wonderful speaking voice. He had such power and magnetism. He moved his community so well. He was a man of great sensitivity for all people. I really thought Harvey Milk could have made, and I'm not being facetious, I think he would have made a great president. I think that's the kind of man he was. So I knew when I saw for the very first time Harvey Milk, I went to San Francisco. I grew up, Phil, not too far from San Francisco. I grew up in Palo Alto, but I went there. I met some homosexuals, and I said, let's do this. Where do I go? How do I sign up, if you want?
To sign up? To go someplace?
Well, there's no recruiting office, Phil. The closest thing to that, no. What we're talking about...
Well, that's the kind of the way you're making it sound.
No, what we're talking about is this. We are traveling the country. There's no doubt that many homosexuals are born that way, but there are certainly perks of the gay lifestyle that intrigue children who don't know whether or not they are gay, and that can help them over to our side. So we're trying to reach what we call the undecideds, I guess, in politics. The undecided young person. Am I homosexual? Am I not? And if we can recruit enough of them and we get enough people into the homosexual lifestyle, now we have real political power. And that's all we're talking about. We're not looking to subvert the heterosexual community so much as we're looking to go out, talk, shake hands with people, show them some of the printed literature that we have on the benefits of becoming a homosexual.
All right, on the line with me is Ray Berger from the Gay Power Trip Bus Tour, going across the country and watching with middle school students last night's episode of Glee, which shows Kurt eventually becoming romantically entwined with an individual that was a gay basher, a gay bully, or rather a guy that bullied gay students. It's a very interesting take by the writers of that show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. As Mr. Berger and others have said, that they are openly going across the country and recruiting young people for the homosexual lifestyle so that they can get the political numbers back up. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Was that good, or should I do it again?
Phil Hendry.
On the line, we're here on the Phil Hendry Show, we have Ray Berger from the Gay Power Trip Bus Tour. It's a bus tour across the country of gay activists, gay men and women who are looking to, quote, recruit young people for the gay lifestyle to up the political power of gay people as well as the economic numbers and enhance the gay community in this country by way of enhancing the numbers. Now, you know, Ray, You are going into these schools, into these classrooms, and tell me what you're doing, and then we're going to get to some phone calls here, 877-876-PHIL. But how does this presentation start?
Thank you, Phil. It's a very positive, it's a extremely proactive through the cooperation of the school. We show the episode of Glee. We may show the episode where the two young girls were romantically entwined, or we'll show this one last evening, featuring Kurt and Karofsky. Then we'll sit down and we'll talk. We present a slideshow. We show the gay communities around the country, which are generally very economically enhanced communities, upscale communities. We show the typical real estate owned by gay people. It is generally a high-end type of purchase. We talk about great gay people in history. Obviously, Alexander the Great was one. The great master spy from Great Britain, Alan Turing, the musician Elton John, the American poet Walt Whitman. Then we get down to the what I like to call the brass tacks. What are the advantages of being a homosexual? Well, first of all, being a member of a very tight and politically astute and economically enhanced community. And the advantages of being a homosexual are also that you are with a group of people that protect themselves and protect each other. And it's an alternative kind of sex, which is not the, you know, I hate to make the joke, but the old one where you say, well, it's not your dad's Oldsmobile. Well, this is not your dad's sex. It's not your dad's lifestyle. And so when we put that package together, and we, and obviously, Phil, we're improving it with each town that we visit, we feel we've got what we think is a presentation that's going to attract a lot of young people.
All right. You know, when are you talking about sex, though? You're talking about middle school kids?
Not sex. Graphically, I'm saying that there is an alternative intimacy that is not just the same old, and all you sometimes say to the boys, take a look at your mother. Do you really want to, you know, kiss that, you know? And they're young boys, so they understand.
All right, 877-876, Phil here with Ray Berger from the Gay Power Trip Bus Tour. Here is Rebecca on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Yes.
I'm good, thank you.
This is Joe. Joe, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, I don't think that this man should be allowed in middle schools. Children are confused enough at that age. I have a 14-year-old son. And if this person came to my child's school trying to promote a lifestyle that will, you know, have them ridiculed, beat up, and cause their life to be harder, I would sue the school board, and I would take great issue with this individual. I think it's sick.
Well, we're not trying to get the child beat up. That would be the last thing we want to do, and we certainly don't want to have anyone put at risk. What we're trying to do is enhance the life of that young person by saying there are alternatives, and if you look at the success economically and professionally, even militarily now, as you know, the debate is ongoing, and we will have gay professional soldiers at some time. Gay people enhance every walk of life that they're involved in, and to the betterment of our country. So when we go in and we recruit, we're just comparing. Now, you could say that your son, Joe, I could say, well, look at your father and then look at Alexander the Great. Well, that wouldn't be fair because Alexander the Great is went down in history. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Alexander
wow.
the Great is...
I don't, yeah.
Alexander the Great is remembered for having promoting homosexuality among his troops because it's more you would fight stronger to protect your lover than you would your friend. But you're talking about 10, 11, 12-year-old children. All I would say is if you showed up at my son's school, and I know how confused children are at that age, I would take great issue with you, extreme great issue with you.
All we're doing really is just, right, we're just handing out brochures. We're giving them some of the printed material. And there's a phone number on the back that they can contact if they want more information.
Well, that's a problem. What do you mean a phone number on the back?
Well, certainly we want them contacting the number with their parent. If they have interest in becoming a homosexual, they can call that number, and we're happy to come out and discuss it more.
With the parents?
Well, I don't think Joe wants to be a homosexual, so no, I wouldn't talk it. But yes, with the parent present, yes.
You just
all right,
the
Joe.
Point right now that, you know, this isn't something that people are born with. It's a sickness, and you're out there recruiting children.
Right. I mean, I thought that this is confusing me because I always believed...
Well, there are a lot of people born as homosexuals. Most people are born as homosexuals. But the ones that are on the fence, the ones that are considering an exotic alternative to the humdrum of life...
At the age of 12?
If there are, even at that age, they may already be bored to death with what they're looking at around them. And we want to give them that alternative.
Okay, Joe, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Kyle in Topeka, Kansas. Go ahead, Kyle. Oh, we got a break? All right. Tell you what, Kyle, why don't you hang on, buddy? We'll be with you in just a second. We're talking here with Ray Berger from the Gay Pride Power Gay Power Trip bus tour. And essentially what we're talking about here is this idea that you're going from middle school to middle school recruiting. You're using this Glee episode. Does Glee know this?
With the producers?
Yeah, do the producers of Glee?
No, I don't think they do, but I don't think they would have a problem with us using that episode to recruit young homosexuals that we feel are recruit young people into the homosexual movement that we feel would benefit us.
All right, we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up at the top of the hour, we have Don Mix, a professor of engineering from the University of Washington, on cheating, school cheating, cheating on tests, and a tale to tell he has. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the program here as we talk to Ray Berger from the Gay Power Trip bus tour across the country, openly recruiting for a homosexual lifestyle. And before we go to some phone calls here, Ray, you know, I want to make sure this has nothing to do with sex, okay?
Well, Phil, I have to tell you, I'm glad you said that, because I don't want anyone to think that this is about sex. This is about the lifestyle. This is about making sure that at some point we have refreshed our numbers. No, it is not about sex. And again, there are a large number of homosexuals that are born that way. But for those that are not, for those that are looking for a different kind of life, maybe making a choice that would enhance their life, we hope to provide for them. And kids that are in need of school to be open to this, so we will give them the brochure, the printed material, perhaps a phone number to call, a couple of seminars to attend, the advantages, the disadvantages. We've got some wonderful testimonials. And
when you say you got testimonials, what does that mean? You mean that?
I mean that we have people who became homosexuals as a result of seeing our presentation and are raving about it. And
you mean middle schoolers?
Well, they're adults now.
Well, how long have you been doing this?
Well, off and on, I've been doing this under different names. At different programs, about 10 years.
So, 10 years, and now you have people that became homosexuals as the result of your presentation and are giving testimonials. All right.
Well, the tone of your voice is one that I've heard before, and I want to say this again. This is not about NAMBLA or some sick bunch of freaks.
No, I understand, but I concur with the gentleman. At least I have always believed that it is from birth, it is an orientation, it has nothing to do with being recruited.
No, absolutely, it is from birth, but there's probably, I don't want to put a number on it, maybe 50%.
50?
50% of all homosexuals were recruited actively by a recruitment program that sent them through four or five phases of training before eventually turning them out into the gay community.
877-876-PHIL is the number. And this gentleman who I was going to get to last hour, and I apologize. Kyle, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Kyle in Topeka.
Yeah, I agree with Phil. I think that when you use words like recruitment, you suggest that becoming a homosexual is a choice. And that flies in the face of the gay orthodoxy as we're taught. So I'm wondering, are you suggesting that homosexuality is a choice, right?
I'm saying that for about 50% of us it is, yeah. And that's why I'm saying that for any walk of life, for any age, even for yourself, you know, you can say, I've had it, I want to try something else. See?
All right, so anyone can choose to be gay.
That is correct. Is that why you called, Sal?
So do you find yourself at odds with people like Rachel Maddow who come out against these quote-unquote pray the gay away programs?
I don't know.
That say from the very beginning from the very beginning of your day.
Let me cut to the chase here. Are you interested in the program? What I was asking, and because Rachel Maddow in the overall, are you interested in the program?
Well, I guess he can't hear me.
Can you hear the caller?
You know, you use words like recruitment.
Kyle,
you're hurting your cause.
I don't think you can.
Personally, I asked you a question. Are you interested in me recruiting you into the homosexual lifestyle? Yes or no?
Don't yell at him, all right?
No, sir.
I don't want anybody yelling. Not you, Kyle. I don't want anybody yelling, all right?
No, I just, if I were a homosexual,
what?
I think that the, really, sir, please. If you were a homosexual, the first story I could tell is that someone else convinced me to be homosexual. And I think that flies in the face of the gay orthodoxy.
Why? When we look at the economic achievement of gay people, we look at the communities we've enhanced, we look at the how we've enhanced every walk of life that we enter, why would that be a bad thing to be recruited into a community of people that do such good? So that's why I'm asking you, and I won't yell, and I apologize for yelling, do you want to be queer or don't you?
Well, I don't think anyone is defined by their sexuality. My sexuality doesn't make me who I am. Don't you just want to let people be individuals?
Maybe.
Maybe it doesn't.
I don't know. But we need to have people, and we need them. And you know what? I wouldn't accept you because you would drive me nuts with your question.
All right. Anyway, Kyle, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. You lost your temper there. Why?
There is a certain kind of closeted homosexual that attempts to confuse with his questions and with his trivialities the actual reality of his own sexual need. In that band there, obviously, way deep in the closet. Wait, when I say deep in the closet, I mean he's behind the old, your grandmother's fur coat. And it angers me. I wish they'd be more honest. I wish they would come forward and just say, I'm gay, and, you know, show me the paper, I'll sign it, whatever I have to sign, and whoever I have to give blood to.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, the gay power trip bus tour across the country. Here's Lisa on the Phil Henry Show. Lisa, go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I called in, I just tuned in to the station and heard the conversation. And I'm just a little bit confused at a couple of the points that are trying to be made. One of the points was that the homosexual community is kind of set aside as, you know, it's powerful and it's embracing and they take care of their own. And now, I'm Native American, and I have a tight community. But I'm not going to go and recruit other people to be Native American. You know, that is something that I'm born with, is my Native blood.
There's one other thing. Who, and I say this with the greatest of respect, but who would want to be a Native American, given how Native American people have been treated, given the their relative advancement in society? Where gay people have moved up the ladder pretty fast.
Well, who would want to be a Native American?
We've got a lot to sell,
and we have so many people trying to get on our tribal roles illegally.
Right.
Many people would love to be Native Americans. They think that we get a lot
because,
of benefits, but, you know,
yeah.
it's merely pennies in comparison to what, you know, the...
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. Right. So if I wanted to be a Native American, do I want to live on a reservation with the alcohol problems? I don't know.
You're stereotyping.
Isn't it true, though? Can I ask you a question? Why do they call it fire water, don't they? Why do they...
Firewater? What are you talking about now? No, what are you talking about now?
I
live on Native land, and
right.
I don't live on a reservation. The majority of the people that live
on my road
do not drink. The majority of them. So that is stereotypical. And I think that's tragic. You know,
it is tragic. I saw something on television. And they said the Native... I saw this thing on television, Lisa, this is Ray. I saw this thing on television. They said the Native American had traded in his teepee for a housing project. And I thought, how is that... that's what they said on television, that the Native American had traded in the teepee for a housing project. And I thought, how is that selling the positive advantages of being a Native American? It isn't. So in order to recruit, you have to have something that is positive. I would say, for instance, what's positive is that how colorful you are and all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Wait a minute, exactly. We're not talking about recruiting for Native Americans here, though.
No, but I thought that was what she was saying.
No, we're not. You brought that up. We're asking, and Lisa made the point, they're not out trying to recruit Native Americans. You're out trying to recruit gay people.
Because you can't decide to suddenly have darker skin, and forgive me, Lisa, but I'm just using, you can't suddenly one morning wake up and go, and everyone's going to say, oh, God, you know, pull the wagons in a circle. Because, for instance,
exactly.
You, Mr. Ender,
that was
exactly, you know.
Point. If you can't wake up
right.
One morning and decide that you have Native blood, you know, and
right.
I believe that there's been many studies that have been done that people who are homosexual are born with it. And what
that,
I'm
right,
gathering,
right, exactly.
And you can
well,
correct me if I'm wrong, because
thing.
I did just just tune in, but
sure.
what you're saying is that you're going to middle school and offering, correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah. homosexual membership,
I didn't interrupt you, so can I talk?
No, I'm just saying, I'm just helping you. I'm saying we're offering homosexual membership in the homosexual, community.
This isn't the Boys and Girl Scouts. You know, you're talking to children.
Being a Native American, I'm not trying to tell you how to be an Indian. Please don't tell me how to be queer,
I'm not trying to tell you.
Let's not use Indian, all right? Look, first of all, I got to clear this. Well, the two basic differences here is that Lisa's saying you're not born, you are born Native. Aren't you born gay?
Yes.
Then how can you recruit people into becoming gay?
All right. Did you ever see the movie Hombre where Paul Newman was white, but he was taken in by the Native people? Here's a better one. Dances with Wolves.
Oh, get out of here with Dances with Wolves. We don't even know that that's true. So what you're saying is it's honorary.
What is?
If you recruit a gay person, if you recruit somebody and they become a homosexual, it's honorary homosexuality. Isn't that it? Like a doctorate?
I wouldn't call it honorary. I would say it's certainly not honorary after the first you-know-what. So, and that doesn't happen until you're an adult. I don't know what, I would think I would be a Native American if I had a bow and an arrow and I put the arrow through a guy in a cavalry uniform. I would think I'd be a Native American, but that doesn't happen anymore. There are no guys
there
in cavalry uniforms, and there are no guys.
There are over 500 Indian nations in the United States, and I have not once, and even growing up, going to visit my family in Canada, where there's all kinds of other reservations, I have not once seen anybody with a bow and arrow and putting it through
exactly.
another man.
Exactly. Putting it through a guy in a cavalry uniform.
The thing is,
in America, at least, the Native Americans sleep in teepees, but in Canada, they sleep in the trunk of a police car. So that's something to keep in mind.
All right, look, Lisa, very, very, very good points. And I think that Lisa brought up, thank you for your call, I think she brought up essentially what it is we're trying to say here. Is it an orientation from birth, or can you choose?
Mr. Henry, I think I've answered that question a million different ways.
You said that, it's an orientation from birth, but you can also choose.
You can become gay the same way a white man can become a Native American if he, like, what was the show?
Oh, will you knock it off with the shows, okay?
Are you trying to tell me that Kevin Costner wasn't officially an Indian at the end of that thing when he went off with the woman?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't even close. He was a Hollywood. He was a white man playing some jackass, and then the movie ended.
He was a white man playing a jackass, and the movie ended. What tribe is that?
Yeah. Okay. We'll be right back. I'm not going to get into a discussion here of how a white guy can become an honorary Indian. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me, Ray Berger from the Gay Power Trip Bus Tour, recruiting young people to become homosexuals. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Ray Berger from the Gay Pride Power, or the Gay, sorry.
It's the Gay Power Trip bus tour. I understand how confusing, but we like the idea of Gay Power Trip because it is about political power, Phil, and it is a trip. But it's not an ego trip. It is a trip of pride to enhance the numbers of the gay community.
All right. Now, on the brochure that you hand out when you are recruiting for the homosexual community...
You say that word, recruiting, like you think I'm a joke.
No, well, I've heard you talking to the lady who was the Native American talking about honorary homosexuals and things like that. When you pass out this brochure, I noticed there are memberships.
That is correct.
Okay, so I'm a homosexual for what, 2 years?
This is a membership in the homosexual community. You are a homosexual for 2 years, and what that 2 years gets you is a part ownership in a townhome. You have a financial sector job with Dun & Bradstreet. Membership in an athletic club. You also are well known at local grocery stores and so on, and bistros and coffee shops. Your coffee is ready made for you when you go down the street to your coffee bistro. This is a gay community badge. That's all it is.
And are you selling these?
We're not selling them, no. We are offering them as an enhancement to the lifestyle. That's all.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Phil Henry Show here with Marta in Providence, Rhode Island, listening on WSAR. Marta, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Thank you. Ray, I just wanted to ask you.
Hello?
You say that, Ray, you say that you chose this.
Hello?
That you decided to, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay. That you decided that, you know, you've tried it the other way. You want to try this now. Want it like it's just a new kind of wine or something. You want to try this. You want to try being gay. Did you date women when you were younger?
Did I date
Were you ever heterosexual? Were you ever a heterosexual?
Was I ever a heterosexual? Are we ever heterosexual? Have you ever been heterosexual? I'm sure that you've behaved as a heterosexual, but have you ever really been? And that is a question. It's a very good question, and it's one I think a lot of us ask. And we look for the answer.
Oh, come on. The question's straightforward.
What do you mean the question is straightforward?
Have you ever been attracted to women? Did you want to marry one? Did you want to settle down with one?
Of course I've been attracted to women my entire life. I love women. I love them not the way I love men,
okay,
but I absolutely adore women. I adore women. And I've had sex with women. I've danced with women. What do you want me to tell you? I've lived with women. But my choice ultimately was this, to become a homosexual and to have the kind of suave faire, I think you would agree, that comes with that, you see. So that's what we're doing. And when we go to a young person and we say, would you like to be a homosexual, here's what it's all about, we're hopefully putting our best foot forward.
All right, go ahead, Marta.
I'm just saying, don't you think that you had that tendency already, and maybe when you met Harvey Milk, you were so impressed because he was a wonderful person and charismatic, and he did a lot of wonderful things. Maybe you just felt some connection there. I don't know why you couldn't admire him if he was a heterosexual.
No, I wasn't sexually attracted to him. No, it didn't. I thought he was a great man. And I realized that what he was doing
had great power.
Well, because
he was gay to emulate
Harvey Milk. Harvey Milk never would have been popular were he not gay. And so I thought that I would be a gay man. Well, his agenda was a lot of things. Harvey's agenda was a lot of things. It was about civil rights. It was about cleaning up dog crap. And a lot of things. And so I don't know why you're asking me these questions.
Are you interested in
becoming a homosexual? If you're interested, I want to send you.
No, I'm not.
Everybody that's calling up, you want to recruit them.
Well, I need to get that out of the way. I need to say, Marta, come join us.
All right, go ahead.
Wow. These children that
you're
recruiting.
Well, the kids that we do, I simply say to the kids, call the number on the back of the brochure and we'll talk.
I don't want to be gay. Please, I'm fine.
I'm not asking you to be gay.
these children that you're recruiting, isn't it possible that they already have that tendency, and maybe when they see this, it's like a validation?
No.
Or
no, it isn't. No,
you're
I mean, well, this is an argument. This is absolutely an argument about what is sexual orientation and what isn't, and you are not really addressing that, I don't think. Let's go to Laura here. Laura, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hi. First of all, let me say, I don't want to cause any kind of disrespect, and I think everybody chooses their lifestyle, and that's fine. I have respect for anybody that, you know, follows through and stands up for what they are. That's great. But as far as recruiting, when we're talking middle school students, I have a teenage son who is in middle school who barely is just going through puberty and barely knows anything about sexuality, period. I'm wondering if it would be even illegal to try to recruit children into a community that they're completely unaware of.
No, it's not illegal to recruit someone into an Indian tribe like that one lady wanted to do.
She didn't want to do that.
The whole topic isn't about Native American or African American. Right now,
she wanted me to become black, and I said, I can't. How do I become black?
Phil Henry.
I can be honorary black.